ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 प्रहलाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विद प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 45 Yan mai tu nadi griha medi sukam hitu cham.
Yan mai tu nadi griha medi sukam hitu cham.
Kandu yanena karayor iva duka dukam.
Kandu yanena karayor iva duka dukam.
Tripyanti neha kripana bahu duka vaja.
Tripyanti neha kripana bahu duka vaja.
Kandu divan masidam vishahet diraha.
Kandu divan masidam vishahet diraha.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sex life, which is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch, or sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is the source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Purport. Materialists think that sex indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there is a regular arrangement to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all the materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by the civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. The lusty person who is compared to a foolish miser never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass, but as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mameva ye prapadyante, Mayam etam tarantite. If one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low-grade happiness of sex life, Jamunacharya says in this connection, Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde navanavarasa dhaman yudyata rantumyasit tadavadi batanari sangame smaryamane Bhavati Mukha Vikara Shustu Nishtivanam Cha. Ever since I have been engaged in the transcendent loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste. Jamunacharya had formerly been a great king who enjoyed sexual happiness in various ways, but since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. His sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust. And the verse again. Yan mai tu nadi griha medi sukam hitu cham kandu yanena karayor iva duka dukam tripyanti neha kripana bahu duka bhaja. Kandu divan Manasi jam vishahet adira. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedi, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is the source of distress. The Kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of Brahmins, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dear, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sudharane. This is probably one of the most difficult things for people in general to understand, because modern civilization is based upon sense gratification, of which sex life is the very basic principle of sense gratification. In 1967 or 66, Srila Prabhupada was giving lectures in New York City at 26 Second Avenue. At that time, the Krishna consciousness movement was not very prominent, but still some different types of rock groups used to come to 26 Second Avenue. And one of them was famous or infamous, depending on your perspective on things. They were called the Fugs. And they were famous for their scandalous songs, all about, more or less, pornographic songs about sex life. We can't even mention the titles publicly of their songs. But some of the more innocent titles were Slum Goddess of the Lower East Side. And they came to one lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada at that evening chose to speak about sex life. And he condemned sex life as, more or less, as Prahlad Maharaj is exposing it here, as a waste of time. And needless to say, the Fugs never came back to another lecture. Similarly, there was one lawyer who was coming, and he was the one who helped incorporate ISKCON. And when he heard Prabhupada's lectures, then he stood up one day and said that the relationship between a man and woman cannot be denied. And Prabhupada said, we cannot change the philosophy just to suit Westerners. And similarly, Mr. Goldstein, who was a lawyer, he never came back again after that. So, people can appreciate many parts of our philosophy, but generally this is the part that they cannot appreciate. And even sometimes they may agree, but still to follow is even more difficult. In one sense, the entire material world is the reflection of the spiritual world. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Urdhvam Alama Dakshakam, Prahur Avyam, Urdhvam Alama Dakshakam. Ashvatam Prahur Avyam, Jadam Siyasya. Parnani, yes, tvam vedas avedavit. That there is a banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves. That one who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. In the spiritual world, the relationships are all based or centered around the relationship between Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Krishna, he has loving relationships with all living entities in the spiritual world, but the pinnacle of those loving relationships are found in the relationship between Radha and Krishna and their associates. And in the material world, everyone is trying to imitate that relationship, and here everyone is imagining themselves to be Radha or Krishna or something like that. But this is a perverted reflection. Therefore, It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savaipum Samparo Dharma Yato Bhaktiya Hokshide Ahaitu Kya Pratiyata Yayatma Supersedati Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janat Yai Suvara Agyam Jnana Chad Yada Haitukam. That devotional service has in its background knowledge and detachment. Unless one cultivates knowledge of the futility of sense gratification, then one will not be able to become detached from material sense gratification and therefore become attached to spiritual consciousness. It is not possible to cultivate sense gratification and at the same time develop this transcendental power of being able to enjoy spiritual consciousness. The very activities of sense gratification diminish one's spiritual power. And if one is cultivating spiritual life, spiritual consciousness, then the symptom of that should be a decrease in one's desire for sense gratification. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Yan maitu naidi griham edi sukham hitu cham. When Pariksha Maharaj is speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, he asked a question, because everyone is asking questions. So he asked the question, Varyaneva te prashna krita lokita ripaha atmavan samvatam pumsam shrotavyadi shu yakparaha. He asked the question, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? Because everyone is about to die. Although, in the material world, people are imagining that they're going to live forever, and therefore making elaborate plans, somehow or another, to stay here for as long as possible and to try to enjoy the material world. Even one knows that I'm going to die, still one is thinking, I will live forever in my name, or I will live my next generation. Somehow or another, one wants to prolong his existence in this material world. When Jarasandha was met by Lord Krishna, by Bhimasen, and by Arjuna, and they were asked for some benediction from Jarasandha, some donation in charity, Jarasandha, he looked at them and he realized that these were actually Kshatriyas because they had marks on their shoulders from carrying a bow. And their bodies were quite well built. Therefore, he hesitated a little bit, thinking that these persons are actually not Brahmins. I think I've seen them before, especially this blackish one. But Krishna, he told Jarasandha about Marashibi, who had given his vow to one pigeon and therefore cut off his flesh in order to save the bird from one hawk that was stalking the pigeon. Similarly, there are others who, there's one great devotee who had fasted for so long, but at the moment breaking his fast, he had given his food away, given his drink away, and how they had achieved immortal fame by such activities. So Jarasandha thought, yes, I will even give my head, more or less, if I can achieve fame by doing so. Somehow or another, everyone wants to live as long as possible. But the real question of an intelligent person is, now that I'm about to die, what is my real duty? But is that what's being discussed on television, and the radio, and schools, and newspapers? No, as it says, Shotavyadini Rajendra Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatatvam Griheshu Grihamedina. Practically everyone is in the role of Grihamedi. Grihamedi means, as it says, they have Gramyakata. As we've explained before, Grahamigata means, in the modern days, persons, the ladies, they go to the wash of the laundromat. They have that here, laundromats. Some. In America, it's very popular. Many places in the world, they have laundromats. So, previously, they used to go down to the rivers, and they'd be washing their clothes. And one lady would turn to the next and say, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" They go, "No." "Well, I can't really say. I made a vow I'd never tell anyone." "No, no, you can tell me. I promise I won't tell anyone." "I can't really tell. But if you promise not to tell anyone else..." "Oh, I promise." "Well, so-and-so did this." "No, really?" "Well, let me tell you about so-and-so." "No, kidding." "Well, wait till Mary hears about that." "Really?" So this is Grahamigata. The whole civilization is more or less based upon Grahamigata. So-and-so had an accident or a heart attack or had a baby or got divorced or killed so-and-so. This is all the information that's being passed on. But Atmatattva, if you tell someone about Atmatattva, "I have no time, no time, I'm in a hurry." Sometimes we have experience amongst the devotees. If you sit there and chit-chat, tell about the latest politics, about the latest activities between different personalities in this world, people have all the time in the world. But if you open up a Krishna book, a Bhagavad Gita, and start reading, people say, "Oh, wow, I'm late. I have an appointment. I have to go." For Grahamigata, people drink in the nectar through their ears and spit it out through their tongues. But for Atmatattva, knowledge about the self, people have no time. No time. Therefore, Divya, what is it? Nidraya Riyate Naktam Vyavayena Chavavaya Divya Charteheya Rajan Kutumba Bharanenava. This is the knowledge that people are looking for. Nidraya Riyate Naktam. At night, how to sleep. People have lost the art of sleeping. They have to take one pill to go to sleep, one pill to wake up, and another pill to get over the effects of the two other pills they just took. They cannot even sleep at night, but they're hoping, "At least I can go to sleep." Nidraya Riyate Naktam. But their real business is Vyavayena Shavavaya. It's sex life. People, as Prabhupada explains, they pack into trains. If one goes to Bombay, I remember one time I got an actually seat on a train in Bombay, and as soon as I sat down, someone sat down on me. And to get off the train, it's so packed that before the next station is there, people start pushing forward. They start pushing the people in front of them to get them off the train. This is a fight for people trying to get on the train and people getting off. So people in the back are pushing to get the people off the train. People in the front are pushing to get people on the train. So they pack into cars, travel for 2 hours, one way, 2 hours the next day, next way. Work in some hellish factory. Why? Because at night they think, "I will go home. My wife will prepare a nice TV dinner for me. Perhaps it will still be warm by the time I get home. And at night then I can have sex life." So for that, here it says, for this little happiness, insignificant happiness, tucham. People are working hard, creating what Prahlad Maharaj said was a humbug civilization. So, one has to cultivate knowledge. What is the actual value of these things? It is said that the six Goswamis, that they gave up their materialistic life as tuchava, as something insignificant. And they went to Vrindavan, where they live like mendicants with practically nothing. But because they are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, therefore Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kolola Mogna Mohur. They were bathing repeatedly in the transcendental emotions of the gopis' love for Krishna, and therefore they did not become disturbed over the loss of their materialistic positions, prestige, and facilities. Instead, they became more enlightened. But because people cannot understand this, therefore they take it as all in all. And the Bhagavatam spends most of its time, or at least a good part of its time, especially in the first 9 cantos, condemning this attitude. Pungsa Striya Maituni Bhavang Etang Tayor Ridya Granti Mahu Takshya Atokriya Shetra Sutapti Vitar Janasya Moho Yang Ahang Vameti. That the whole business of material life begins with attraction between male and female. One does not have to go to college or university and get a degree to become attracted by the opposite sex. Because nowadays people become attracted by anything. The attraction is expanded. Man, man, woman, woman, animal, whatever. So, Pungsa Sriyo Maituni Bhavan Etan. But when they combine together, then the attraction becomes even deeper, and it all expands in this wonderful ato griha shetra su tapti vitar. It goes land, wealth, vitai, family, etc. It expands more and more, and this is what all the history books are all about. Most of the history books are about how people were unhappy with sex life, and therefore they either individually they killed each other or they collectively got together to kill each other. All on the basis of trying to compensate for the lack of satisfaction in sex life, trying to expand it more and therefore winding up fighting with each other. Prabhupada said, history means the activities of the fools and rascals put into chronological order. But this is not recommended to get involved in such activities. Instead, one has to learn how to become tolerant. So here it says, dhira. And Bhagavad Gita says that one should understand, dhira sthatra namuyati. That denosmi nita dehe komaram jovanam dhira. Tatadahantra prapir dhirya sthatra namuyati. That one has to become dhira, he has to realize that I'm not this body, but I'm actually a spiritual being. And that my real happiness lies in cultivating my spiritual consciousness. My consciousness of the spiritual realm, and not putting my consciousness in the activities of sense gratification of this material body. So this means dhira, one has to be tolerant, because the body is full of senses, and they're always pushing. They're always demanding. Vacha vegam, manasakrota vegam, jiva vegam, udra pasta vegam, etan vegam, yova shaheta dira, sarvam api mam prativim sashisha. That there's always so many urges, vegas, pushing the conditioned soul to gratify them. But one has to engage the senses in Krishna's service, and then the result is they'll become purified. And as they become purified, then one will not lose his intelligence or his ability to fix his mind on spiritual topics. But if one satisfies these pushings unrestrictedly, then the result is that one loses all good qualities and all ability to fix his mind upon the transcendental form quality pastimes of Krishna. One loses all ability, materially and spiritually, to hear or his enthusiasm to chant and his ability to eventually understand and remember things properly. As we can see in Kali Yuga, Practically, people have lost their memory. They've lost their interest in spiritual life. And even they have some interest, it is said, prayena payusha jana kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrutaha. The people, because of unrestricted, uncontrolled appetite for sense gratification, they become lazy, unlucky, disturbed, etc. All the bad qualities of Kali Yuga are all centered around unrestricted sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, modern education means to encourage people, to try to convince people that this is a good thing, that this is progress, that this is the cause of people's anxiety. Even millions of years ago, the same propaganda was there. Hiranyakashipu, he was trying to convince his little boy that you should become a bona fide demon like I am and expand the family and try to make a success out of life. Success in life means to expand your family, expand the wealth of the family, get more and more involved in sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj, he did not agree. He immediately disagreed. He told his father, when his father asked, what is the best thing you learned in school? Was it how to take drugs or how to steal or what did you learn? So Prahlad Maharaj said, Natsadamanye, Tatsadamanye, Suryavarya Dehino. Sada Sumudvigna Rasate Diyam. Hitvatma Padam Griham Andakupam Vanam Gato Yad Dharim Ashriyeta. He said, my dear father, Tat Sadamanye Surya Varya Dehina, oh, best of the demons, because his father is a big demon, so he said, you're the biggest demon. He was unafraid of his father. And Sadasamudvigna, for those who are full of anxiety, because Asat Griham, because they've accepted this material world, this temporary material world is everything. Sadasamudvigna, Asad Grihat. They've accepted the temporary things is all in all. And therefore, Hitvatma Patam Griham Andakupam. So for such persons, their best, my advice, my greatest instruction, is that they should give up this Andakupam, this blind well of sense enjoyment. And vanam gato yadarim ashieta, go to Vrindavan, go into the forest, and to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. In other words, this is the two opinions of the material world. One opinion is to enjoy the material world. The other opinion is we cannot enjoy it, so let's go to the spiritual world and become the enjoyers there. Or one can take shelter of Krishna, become a servant of Krishna, utilize his energies for Krishna, and the result is not only one will be able to come to spiritual consciousness where one can enjoy his actual spiritual life, but all these disturbances caused by his body, mind, and words due to our contamination, our attachment to sense enjoyment, will become alleviated at the same time. As Pariksha Maharaj is speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, and Pariksha Maharaj said, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, that I wish you hear about other pastimes. This is when he was talking about, when Shukadeva Goswami was about to speak about the pastime of Sudama Brahman. So he said, I want to hear about other pastimes that you've explained about Krishna's pastimes of creation, about his maintenance, and about his annihilation of this material world. That the Supreme Lord He's so kind that simply by hearing about him, he bestows love of Godhead and liberation simultaneously. So please tell me other pastimes, because the conditioned souls within this material world, they're frustrated by searching out the pleasure of material sense enjoyment. That such desires for material sense enjoyment are always piercing the hearts of the conditioned souls. But I'm actually experiencing how, simply by hearing these transcendental narrations about Lord Krishna, one can be relieved from such sense gratificatory desires and become filled with transcendental happiness. So I think that this is the actual remedial measure. This is the process. There's no other process. Unless one is able to learn the art of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna in such a way as to become purified, then one will be forced to engage in sense gratification. And although it's advertised as the goal and the greatest enjoyment in life, but actually it is the cause of all sufferings, bahu dukkha bhaja, all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties. And at the end, if one is repeatedly engaging unrestrictedly in sense gratification, then Krishna says, asuram eva apanam muda janmani janmani mama prapyaiva konteya tato yantyaram mam gatin. That at the end, such persons who are only interested in sense gratification, who are called asuras, then the result is that repeatedly they go down and down into lower species of life, and they can never understand Krishna. In other words, the more one is developing the desires and the activities of sense gratification, the more one loses all ability to understand what is Krishna consciousness. And the more one actually develops Krishna consciousness, then the more one loses the desire for material sense gratification. But in this age, fortunately, it is said that Gornitai, they've come. Parama Karuna Pahudvijana Nityai Gora Chandra Sava Avatara Sarashi Ramani Kevala Anandakanda. That Gornitai, they're coming, and their process is simply joyful. Anandakanda. But in order to appreciate their process, still it is said, Vishaya Charya Seirase Majiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari. That one has to regulate one's activities of sense gratification. Ahara Nidra Maituni Bhavam Vayam Cha. That one has to regulate his eating, sleeping, and even sex life is there, but it has to be done in Krishna consciousness, not unrestrictedly without any higher consciousness. But those who cannot appreciate the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, this will all seem very disturbing, seem very denying, as they Prabhupada used to say, denying that Swamiji or Prabhupada, he's denying the basic necessities of life. Some people used to complain that this is impractical, that this is denying life itself. Therefore, here it says, Tadavidi Nava Navarasa Dhamad Yudyatara Antimasi. So this we have to learn, how to actually get transcendental happiness from hearing and chanting about Krishna, and therefore, in a practical way, lose our taste for sense enjoyment. Otherwise, if one is cultivating Krishna consciousness, even after thousands and millions of years, if one doesn't get that higher taste, then he'll simply hanker for sense enjoyment, and at the end, he'll simply fall down. Therefore, sometimes they read this verse. How does it go? One can chant the holy name for millions of years, but if he doesn't avoid the 10 offenses, then he won't actually get the real goal, which is love of God. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
But the intelligence is very clear.
Because the intelligence is theoretical. Just like someone may give you so many instructions about how you shouldn't eat, you know, so many pakoras. So theoretically you can accept it, but unless they can give you instructions how to get a higher taste, then it may sound like good philosophy, but it's not very good enjoyment. So because we ourselves are pleasure-seeking, therefore, unless the intelligence gives us real direction, practical instructions, how to engage ourselves in such a way as to get a superior taste, then we'll settle for whatever taste is available eventually. At least understand something. But then our desire to enjoy goes way beyond. In other words, just like we gave the example before, as soon as you get a lawnmower, then it's your duty to control it. Not that you let the lawnmower go wherever it wants to go. No, as soon as one gets the lawnmower, one has to control it and direct it properly. So similarly, when we get the human form of life, we're supposed to control our mind and senses with our intelligence and direct ourselves in the proper way. But if one doesn't have real intelligence, if he doesn't have real practical intelligence, how to engage oneself in Krishna's service and develop that attitude and those activities more and more, then the result of it is all he may have theoretical knowledge if he doesn't actually perform the activities of devotion. Therefore, the mind and senses will engage the intelligence instead, because the intelligence won't really develop. The realizations won't really develop. And instead, the mind and senses will engage the intelligence. My dear intelligence, I want to go to the discotheque. How can we go? Well, in your wallet there is so much money. You have enough money. And you get on the bus and it's in such and so address and I'll take you there. Therefore, the mind and senses engage the intelligence in order to satisfy them. So unless the soul is sufficiently convinced and enlivened to use his intelligence in Krishna's service, and therefore control, use his mind and senses in Krishna's service, accept higher intelligence. Therefore, unless he's really convinced by practical experience, by feeling satisfied, he'll accept the dictation of the mind and senses and use his intelligence for sense gratification. So theoretical knowledge doesn't satisfy the soul. It's only when the soul accepts that theoretical knowledge and engages himself in a practical way that Krishna gives him a higher taste. Otherwise, he may hear for millions of years, and if he doesn't really accept it enough to follow, therefore, eventually, he'll accept the dictation of the mind and senses and follow them. Because at least they offer something that's called pleasure. First, one has to agree to control the senses enough to engage in. For instance, unless one controls the senses, then one can't bring the body here to class. He can't try and hear the class. He can't do anything. So Prabhupada writes in the verse, Shadavan lavate jnanam tatpara samatendriyaha jnana lava param shantim acharya nadigachati. A faithful person who's absorbed in transcendental knowledge and who subdues the senses quickly attains its supreme transcendental peace. Prabhupada said, a faithful man is one who believes that simply by chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in devotional service, one can achieve the goal of life. But over above this, one has to control the senses. In other words, control the senses means to engage in devotional service. So unless one is engaged in devotional service, then there's no possibility of getting a higher taste. People in the street don't walk along generally and get zapped by the spiritual energy. They get, of course, the devotees, they go out and Harinam's there, and by such association they get some agyata sukriti by hearing the holy name or associating with the devotees. And this may bring them to the point of shraddha, of being able to appreciate the fact that if they do engage in devotional service, their aspirations will be fulfilled. So in that sense, some mercy is there at the beginning, agyati sukriti. But ultimately one has to make the decision to engage himself, his senses and mind in Krishna's service, or else one can't progress beyond that. Anything else? Yes. Well, it's the difference between Jarasandha and Lord Ramachandra. Jarasandha wanted to be famous because he thought he was God. But Lord Ramachandra is God. And therefore it's not very good for people to go around and criticize God. They're known as the Asuras, and they go to hell. So Lord Ramachandra didn't want others to suffer criticizing him. But Jarasandha, he couldn't care less who suffered. He just wanted to be famous. But the Kshatriyas, they're not very glorified, actually. Although the Bhagavatam glorifies the Kshatriyas, they generally glorify the Rajarshis, the saintly kings, because people like to hear about about kings. But I remember one lecture probably said that until you become a Brahmin, you're not even considered a human being. So the Kshatriyas, except for the saintly ones, they're not even considered very important in the Vedic culture. Certainly not as important as the Brahmins, who don't look for name and fame. It's useless. How can the Bhagavatam, for instance, glorify something that's useless? It kicks out all these things. So if we look, even Lord Ramachandra, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he shows the example how, if one becomes attached to materialistic life, how bewildered and how many problems one is put into. Because his wife Sita Devi was kidnapped and he ran through the forest like a madman. And all the sages were surprised. Lord Ramachandra has become crazy simply over this woman. And then he had to go through so much effort, millions and billions of monkeys and so many things, just to get back his wife. So many years fighting and so many problems. So Lord Ramachandra, he was famous, he's God himself, but even he shows in his life. If one becomes a Kshatriya, one becomes attached to, seemingly attached to a woman and materialistic life, then how many problems one has to go through? I don't know if that answers your question. Yeah, people think profit, adoration, and distinction. These are subtle sex life. The whole material world is based upon some kind of sex life, and that's simply a subtler form. Now it's up to 10 pipes. Inflation.
Is it also possible that there are also Brahmanas in ISKCON that are not really Brahmanas, but are just acting like it and being private? Is it specific?
Well, how will you tell? How will you know?
Are there Brahmanas who are not Brahmanas?
Should we do an investigation? What are they? Brahman means sama dhamma tapa socham shanti arjunam evacha jnanam vijnanam asti gyam brahma karma svabhavacham. Brahman doesn't mean that now I've gotten my initiation and I have my thread and therefore I'm a Brahman. Brahman means one who is sense and mind controlled, who is equally poised, who goes through austerity, who's clean, etc. That's what a Brahmin means. Now, if I started thinking, well, he has his second initiation, he's a thread, but he's a pretender. So that's probably not very good on my part. How do I know who's a pretender? Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur Premanande, Kijai.